Friday Tailgate is brought to you by Galise Services. Go back to the fan hotline here, presented by Sullivan Super Service. Breaking news, Davante Adams putting up on his Instagram feed a picture of Edgar Allan Poe, the Baltimore native.
Weird creep.
Yep.
Real weird creep.
Poem, The Raven, is why the Ravens are called the Ravens. Mm-hmm. So is he foreshadowing a move, a trade to Baltimore? They were on the list that got leaked by Ian Rappaport of teams Davante Adams would like to play for. He must be excited about the prospect of watching Derrick Henry run the ball and getting five footballs thrown his way per game. And
perhaps he could
Patrick Mahomes in the playoffs.
Perhaps he could just do an Instagram story for each team he's been rumored to be connected to.
What would be ours, a bridge?
If he just put up Steely McBeam, just put up a picture of Steely McBeam.
Like a blast furnace?
Yeah, Steely McBeam in front of the Cary furnace would be my choice there.
Brian McFadden, BMAC, is back with us from CBS Sports, the Steelers Super Bowl champion. BMAC, what would be your reaction to Davante Adams going to the Ravens?
I would hate it.
Yeah.
There's nothing about that I would like at all. Heck, I didn't like when Derrick Henry went to Baltimore. I'm like, out of all the places, why Baltimore? And, of course, you know why. The same reason why you guys wouldn't like it. You know, we love the Steelers. Now, I can tell you this much in regards to necessity. That is a need for the Ravens. And I know they've been such a run-oriented offense. But, man, if you got a prolific wide receiver one to add to that offense, I mean, that would be a very, very difficult offense to stop. So I hope it doesn't come to fruition.
BMAC, how aggressive should the Steelers be in their pursuit of Davante Adams?
I think they should be aggressive. I mean, at the end of the day, when you're trying to trade for a valuable player like Davante Adams, you got to present something that is more appealing than what the other teams are presenting. Now, do you want to salvage the farm to do so? I wouldn't say that. But, you know, you want to make sure you're aggressive to give a legit option for Davante and for the Raiders to consider.
What would that constitute?
I mean, it sounds like a second rounder is
like, would you be willing to overbid for what is rumored to be, I should say, what's rumored to be their asking price? Do you think he's a player that's worth overbidding for and then committing more money to because he doesn't have any guaranteed after this year?
I mean, overbidding, I wouldn't give up a first rounder. Mm-hmm. I wouldn't do that. But I would be willing to part ways with a second rounder and something else. Now, I don't know exactly what our draft compensation will look like in 2025. But, you know, I'd be willing to give up a second rounder along with something else and then try to readdress the contract as well.
What does he do so well as a wide receiver? Like, you look at him from a cornerback's perspective, what makes him so good? What are the strongest points still, even in his early 30s, at Davante Adams' game?
He's a professional route runner. He has the uncanny ability to create separation either at the beginning of the route or the top of the route. He's a reliable pass catcher as well. To really understand defensive concepts puts him in positions to be wide open time in and time out. So when you talk about that skill set along with the mindset of winning, trying to win by any means necessary, he would improve any locker room he enters instantly. And I know people are saying, well, it's going to take some time for him to get acclimated to the offense. Davante Adams is a very, very smart, intelligent football player.
Mm-hmm.
So it might be easier for him than would it be for another wide receiver to pick up on things because of how instinctive and how intelligent he is when it comes to football.
BMAC, you came on the show before the season started and said the Steelers will be in New Orleans for the Super Bowl. If they were to acquire Davante Adams, would you like to alter that prediction now and say, with Adams, the Steelers would win the Super Bowl?
You know what? No, I'm not ready to alter that just yet. I think my first initial prediction is good enough.
Mm-hmm.
But I can tell you this much: if we're able to get Davante Adams, there will be a lot of people starting to say the same things that I said before the season started. And speaking of the season, Oh, wait a minute. Wait a minute. Hold on. Pony, yeah. Chris, can I say something, please? I don't want to interrupt the script of the show.
No. Go on.
Oh, this is an unscripted
call,
show. It's
B-Mac,
we fly off the cuff.
Audible
yeah.
here.
Check with the line of scrimmage. Check with me.
That's why you guys are the ultimate professionals. You can go any direction at any given time. I remember I was on there just a week ago.
Yep.
Getting ready for the Coast game. And there was an individual that was on the call with me stated that he was going to the game and he kind of thinks he is bad luck for the Pittsburgh Steelers.
Yes. That would be me.
And if I'm not mistaken, last time I checked, didn't we lose?
Yes. And I had to drive 6 hours in the rain both ways to watch them lose and predict that they were going to lose. And then I spread my bad karma throughout the stadium, apparently, B-Mac.
Stay home, Pony. Stay home.
I am staying home for this game. And you know what's bad about it, B-Mac? So are a lot of Steelers fans. How about this stat? Vivid Seats. They expect 46% Cowboys fans for Sunday night's game.
I don't believe
what are we
that,
doing
that,
here?
That's a dirty, that got to be a dirty rumor. I'm not believing that. That
I don't know. I don't know. Niners fans took this place over week one last year. It pains me to say it, but they did.
We can't have Cowboys fans here Sunday night, bandwagon fans taking over our barn. It would be a terrible look.
Uh-oh.
I think we lost him. We did.
We did. He was so disgusted by the mere thought of Cowboys fans taking over that he just ditched us.
While we wait for B-Mac, here's Matt on the fan. Hello, Matt.
Hey, guys. What's up?
Hey.
Hey, so I live in Dallas-Fort Worth.
Congratulations on all your success.
Yeah, thank you. I appreciate that. I hate the Cowboys just like Pony. My first ever game was Ben Roethlisberger's in 04 against the Cowboys.
Yes.
And watching them win, come back in that game was a delight. Loved it. All that stuff. I am so excited every year or every 4 years when we get to play them. I hate this team. I hate their fan base. And even the fan hosts down here in Dallas have been a little too cocky, thinking that even though they have all these injuries, they still think they're going to win the game somehow. Mm-hmm. And so I'm hoping for a blowout for our sake and all of Pittsburgh's sake. So, yeah, I can't stand the Cowboys. I'm just with you, Pony.
All right. Thank you, Matt. Let's get B-Mac back in here. We have him back. B-Mac, do you hate the Cowboys?
I don't hate them. I don't like them. And I don't like them for this upcoming ball game. But, no, I don't hate them. You know what I mean?
You don't get sick of how overrated they are and how much we have to listen to people tell us how good they are every year, B-Mac?
Now, I get sick of always having to talk about the Cowboys or hearing somebody talk about the Cowboys week in and week out. That is super annoying.
It
bothers me a lot.
Oh, my God.
Me. Yeah, yeah, yeah. But for me, when you talk about hating the Cowboys, now I don't hate the Cowboys. Teams that I hate are teams that's in that division. I hate the Browns. I hate the Bengals. I hate the Ravens.
All right, so wait. So when you're at Florida State, would you say Miami biggest rival or Florida?
I hate both of them.
Now, so like even Stevens.
Okay, so the one I hate the most I hate Florida the most, but I hate Miami fans the most.
Gotcha. Okay. That's a good distinction to make.
All right,
there, B-Mac.
So I'm asking that to ask you this. I would imagine like you'd hate maybe Bengals fans the most. You hate the Ravens maybe as a team the most. Who then are the Cowboys? What college team that you would have played against are the Cowboys in this equation?
Oh, I mean, a team that never really wins but think they're going to win every year?
Yes.
I can think of a team that wears gold helmets who acts that way, B-Mac.
Notre Dame?
Yep.
Oh, Notre Dame fans are not like Cowboy fans, though. Notre Dame fans are a little more mild-tempered
okay.
than Cowboy fans. I'll say that.
They're a little Midwestern nice.
That is a great example because Notre Dame fans feel like they're going to win every year, and they do so in a silent way. I think Cowboy fans are a little more vocal with their sentiments about their team. Every year is their year to win. And every year, and they haven't won since, what, 95.
They're like Virginia Tech fans. They think every year they're going to somehow beamer ball their way or something like that in the NFL. That's what they are.
B-Mac, I told you I did not have a good feeling about last week's game. I actually have an incredible feeling about this one. I can't fathom that after coming out so flat against the Colts, that in prime time against a team like the Cowboys, that lightning would strike twice. I love us to come out and ball like crazy against this beleaguered, injured Cowboys team. I think we have a rare Steelers double-digit win on Sunday. You know, what are your thoughts?
That would be great to see. I just want to win. That's number one. I just want to win. In the words of Mike Tomlin, There's no such thing as style points in the National Football League. But to do so convincingly would do something to the confidence, would boost the confidence and the morale of this team. And on a national stage, and one thing I know about Mike Tomlin on a national stage, primetime opportunities, he really shows up.
Yes.
You know, that just has been his coaching mantra since being, you know, with the Pittsburgh Steelers as the head C in charge. So I like what you're saying. I like your opinion, and I think it's going to be definitely an opportunity for Pittsburgh to showcase to the world that, you know what, we are a legit team. And one thing Mike Tomlin used to tell us guys when I was there in the locker room, anytime you play on a primetime stage, that is a message-like game. It's an opportunity to send to the entire football world. Show them what type of team you will be. Send a message out. So for Pittsburgh, man, this is a message opportunity, man. Send a message out to let them know, like, we're here, we got something going, and it's going to be a long season for anybody we face off against.
BMAC, based on what you just said then, does Justin Fields have a chance if he sends a very strong message with a big game to seal up this job as his, no matter what happens with Russell Wilson's health?
Facts on a national stage, no question. Everybody's going to be watching Sunday Night Football, right?
And do you think Mike would put more weight on it if Fields had a really good game?
Question.
Like, would Mike look at this and say, under the bright lights, this guy played at a very high level against a big name opponent, and he would maybe weight that a little more heavily?
I think so, but I think even if he would, he would never say so. Mike T is not that individual that's going to let you know everything that he's thinking. You know what I mean? That's why he's Mike Tomlin. But for me, just looking from the outside, looking in, just like you guys,
yep.
If the Pittsburgh Steelers win, and to your point, if they just win convincingly on either side of the football, especially offensively, if they win by double digits, Justin Fields is going to have a heck of a game. That's a guarantee. If that was to happen, yeah, no question. I think it's his job moving forward. Now, the thing about that, if that was to become a reality, and I don't want to say was, when it becomes a reality, I still think the Steelers will handle this quarterback situation like they've done the entire season so far. Well, we're just going to monitor the situation, and right now we're going to prepare like Justin is QB1 for this week. I think that's what they would do.
Give us BMAC's player to watch offensively and player to watch defensively in what we anticipate will be a great Steelers victory Sunday night.
Okay, my player to watch offensively is Pat Freiermuth.
Okay.
This is the game for Pat to really showcase that he can be a high-level tight end. Now, we saw some good play last week against the Colts, but I'm saying from start to finish, I think Pat Freiermuth is going to have a really, really good game. Defensively, this is a Mecca Fitzpatrick game. And the reason why I say that, guys, is because they're going to try to get Jake Ferguson going.
Mm-hmm.
Like, we know about CeeDee Lamb, but outside of CeeDee Lamb, their next best reliable pass catcher is Jake Ferguson. I see Mika picking off a squaring route on Ferguson and getting in the end zone. We haven't seen Mika get in the end zone in quite some time. I think it's about time for Mika to get into the end zone. Squaring route on number 87, Jake Ferguson, take it to the house, Mika Fitzpatrick. And Lord knows, if that happens, if either or happens, I'm playing a number. I don't play the lottery, but I would play a number.
BMAC, thanks for joining us. We'll talk next week.
Yes, sir.
Brian McFadden. Follow us on Twitter, brought to you by South Hills Kia Peters Township. Yes, Mulsey?
Oh, I got to mink a number, a tweet that was sent out today. Do you want me to just save it for
save
you?
Save it. We got Kabali all next hour. But next, we're 2 minutes away from Open Phone Friday. We give you a segment every week. 412-928-9370, whatever you want. We'll give you another chance to react to this news from Vivid Seats. 46% Cowboys fans Sunday night. Are you bleeping kidding me? 412-928-9370. First, a Seth headline.